Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash, injury attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234. It is Monday, which means Sam and Ash will be with us. Hi there, everybody. Scott Culbranson, joined by my co-host, your boy Q Myers. We are here. The NFL wildcard weekend is complete. Plenty to talk about. We'll also get to Raiders news and information, as well as the defensive coordinator search, which we think might end this week. But how was your weekend, man? And are you ready for another week full of Raiders and NFL news?
Oh, absolutely. And oh, by the way, the Steelers just turned the ball over again, just in case you're trying to keep up with it. They just turned the ball over one more time just to add insult to injury. But no, man, what a great weekend of great sports. Six NFL games on the weekend. And unfortunately, the Raiders were not one of the teams playing, but a team that I said last week that's very similar, I think, to the Raiders and the Tennessee Titans. They bowed out against the Ravens. But I still kind of look at that game, and I watched that game in its entirety. And I saw so many glaring things that were the same, you know, so many similarities between the teams. And so I'm just kind of still hanging my hat on that conversation we had last week about the team that looks like the Ravens or the Raiders the most, which I do think is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, they really looked like the Raiders, especially with the sort of inability, the defense to stop folks, and then the offense going out three and out. It just spelled doom for them. So we're going
to not being able to get the run game going and established. And just, I mean, there were so many similarities. I didn't say that they're all good ones, but they're all there, you know. So,
well, and not only that, Q, but you're right. I mean, Derrick Henry was not happy. I don't know. You saw him and Vrabel kind of having some heated conversations. So something was going on there, which I'm sure we'll get some more detail on. And I haven't caught up on everything today yet from the weekend, but we'll get there and we'll talk about it this weekend. This week. Coming up on the show today, we will have Hondo Carpenter coming up next at the bottom of the hour. Hondo's also going to stay with me and special co-host in between the times. Q can't be here, so we're going to do that with him. We'll talk to him about the NFL playoffs. We'll also talk to him about whether or not Darren Waller was truly snubbed or not. and we're going to get to that here in a second, too. Also, the latest on the Raiders defensive coordinator candidates. And, of course, next hour, we'll have the Q-tip coming up at the top of the hour. Then at the at 3:20, we'll have Hunter Renfro back with us. Yes, the Raiders aren't playing, but Hunter's with us a few more weeks. We're going to get his NFL playoff reaction, surprises, what performances stuck out for him, what did he watch, and what did he think of that. It's always interesting to get a perspective from a player. Then we're going to ask him about bad juju, bulletin board material. Of course, the Juju Smith-Schuster stuff with the Steelers yesterday. How much of a motivation is it for pro players versus college players and so on? We'll ask him about that. Also, get his comments on the college football championship coming up here tonight, Ohio State versus Alabama. And then we'll finish the show off with Sam and Ash and talk to them about the legal world as well as some local happenings here. But Q, first, you know, we always try to get things going here on the show. We always try to improve what we do because we're never satisfied. We know we can always get better. And so one of the things we're going to do from now on is when we come on with you daily is we're going to do at the top of the show a winners and losers segment, which is, hey, pretty self-explanatory. We'll look around the world of the sports. We'll focus, of course, first on the NFL. But as things slow down in the NFL, we'll also use it for anything. So here is our first edition of Scott and Q's Winners and Losers.
In life and sports, not everyone gets it right. The line between brilliance and ignorance is a fine one. And Scott and your boy Q are here to call them out. It's time for today's winners and losers.
Okay, so new segment here on Silver and Black Today, and it's pretty simple. Each show, Q and I will call out winners and losers from the world of sports using our extremely refined and cultured views on sports to pass judgment on the day's sports happening. So here we go, Q. I'm going to give you my first winner, all right, brother?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, my first winner, especially from Wild Card Weekend, was Baker Mayfield. Okay, the Browns, we know that first quarter coming out to the 28-0 lead over the Steelers who were turning the ball over left and right. But Baker Mayfield, this guy, and I still don't know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. It's kind of a hard guy to like in my view. But listen, he goes 21 of 34, 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, 115 passer rating. And Baker Mayfield goes into Pittsburgh, beats the Super Bowl champion Big Ben. So Baker Mayfield's my first winner of the day.
Yeah, I think so. That makes all the sense in the world. Again, I don't think anybody, including myself, gave Cleveland a chance to win that game Sunday night just because they had so many elements working against them and they still found a way to do it. Was it all on the arm of Baker Mayfield? No, but I mean, it was a team sport. It was a team game. You know, he picked up the playoff victory. I thought that that was important. And, you know, the Browns just did what they did and they went in there fired up and the Steelers made a bunch of mistakes and the Browns made them pay for it. So, yeah, I could see Baker Mayfield being a winner for the weekend for sure.
All right, Q, how about you? You have a winner from the weekend?
Well, can I do a loser first?
You can do a loser. Yeah, okay, how about that? Let's do that. This is a brand new segment, so we can do it any way we want.
Okay, well, because you gave Baker Mayfield a winner, so I got to double down and say the Steelers were losers. You know, the Steelers go. And Mike Tomlin. I know we talked about Mike Tomlin in pretty good extent last week, and I actually gave him a lot of props. But really, if you take a step further back, you got to look at Mike Tomlin and the Steelers and say they were definitely the losers from the weekend. Think about this, man. They started the season 11-0, and then they lost 5 of their last 6, and they have not won a playoff game in 4 years.
Wow.
So that's why I say it's Steelers and Mike Tomlin, because it's not just a product of what happened on Sunday night, but it's what's happened over the last 4 years. Again, this team started 11-0, and I always said, Scott, I know we talked about it before, that it was kind of a suspect 11-0. I didn't think it was they're gonna run the table 11-0. I just kind of thought that they were just finding ways to get victories, but it was never just impressive. But then losing 5 of the last 6 and then not have won a playoff game in 4 years, even though the Steelers have some decent pieces, they got some real offseason work to do, in my opinion.
They really do. Okay, so there's Q's first loser, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I cannot disagree with that. I also think you throw in Big Ben there. Even though Big Ben had 68 pass attempts and 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, sure, but he had 4 interceptions, which were massive in that game. All right, here's my second winner, Q. You ready?
Yep.
Lamar Jackson. I know it seems like an easy one, but listen, this kid has done everything you could possibly ask for of a quarterback, especially a young quarterback in the NFL. The one thing he hadn't done was really had a lot of success in the playoffs. He went into this game against the Titans and really played well. He didn't throw the ball all over the place, but he did what he had to do. He ran the ball so effectively. And I got to tell you, he just didn't look scared. He looked more mature than he did last year. And I think Lamar Jackson, the way he played yesterday is not exactly, if I have to face him in the playoffs, not how I want to see him playing, because he looks confident, he looks mature, he looks ready to go.
Well, you know, he really looked a lot better after he threw that early interception, and he kind of looked at it like, uh-oh, what kind of game is it going to be? Is it going to look like that for Lamar if he's throwing the ball? And you could tell he had a little bit of attitude about himself. You know, when he scored that touchdown, that long run, he got into the end zone, and you could tell he was kind of angry and had that chip on his shoulder. And he even talked about it after the game, that he was still angry about that interception because it was a terrible pass. But for him to be able to grow up, not only throughout the course of the season, but be able to grow up through that game, you know, and be able to help will the team to victory, you got to give him a lot of props. He was being talked about quite a bit leading up to that game. You know, he hadn't won a playoff game. That was the thing that was hanging over his head. Well, now he's advancing to the second round of the playoffs. So, yeah, Lamar Jackson definitely was a winner from the weekend.
All right, Q, winner or loser?
I got a winner, and it's going to be in that same game, and it's going to be on that same team, and it's going to be wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown. Oh, yeah. He's a guy who last time they played the Tennessee Titans had no catches. You know, he was basically was a no-show, but on Sunday he had a heck of a game, really stepped up to the challenge. It had 7 catches, 109 yards on 9 targets. He played really, really, really well, and you know, he just really stepped up when they needed him the most, and that's what it was. That's what it's all about, man. You got to have a guy that can step up and be the dude. And you know, when push came to shove, and I know that Lamar Jackson likes to throw the ball to the tight end a lot, but when push came to shove, he found a way to get the ball to Hollywood Brown. And well, speed kills, he's got that. And you know, I know a lot of Raider fans are probably gonna look and say, how come Henry Ruggs couldn't do what Marquise Brown was doing? And I'm not bringing him to the table for that kind of comparison, but I know that there's going to be a lot of conversation about that. But either way, man, that's what you want to see from a guy that you drafted really high. You want him to be a difference maker in games that matter, and that's the playoffs.
No doubt. Great performance by him and the the Ravens looked much better than I thought they would, so they're going to be a force to be reckoned with on the AFC side. Okay, I'm going to a loser on this one, and it is Juju Smith-Schuster. Yes, not that he had a bad game overall playing himself, but it was what he did before the game, as has been the case the last several weeks, and we've talked about it a bunch on this show, Q. Here's what he said about the Browns. He said, quote, "I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless gray faces. They have a couple good players on that team, but at the end of the day, I don't know. The Browns is the Browns." Okay, so the Browns then went out to a 35-10 lead in the first half, and the rest is history. You know, this kid is a good receiver. I'm sure he's a fine kid, but the dancing on the logos and all this stuff, and we talked about that several times here on the show, Q. If you're going to do that, you better back it up, and guess what? They got punched in the mouth, and the Browns players specifically called out his pregame comments as extra motivation of why they wanted to go into Pittsburgh and beat these guys, and it worked perfectly for the Browns.
Yeah, it did, and it's funny. I love when players, and this is something you could ask Hunter Renfrow about later, I'm sure you will, is just I love how players use things to get them going because, again, yeah, it's a playoff game. The Browns hadn't been to the playoffs for so long. Pittsburgh is their division rival. I mean, I don't think that you need a guy dancing on the logo or doing whatever, you know, or talking about same old Browns to get you motivated. You know what I mean? For every reason I just rattled off, you should be motivated already to go in there and get a victory. I mean, hell, it's the playoffs. You know, you win or you go home. But again, you know, these athletes are creatures of different habits and everything, and they're cut differently. And so sometimes if they could find something, and I'm not saying that it's even, you know, like a bad thing for Juju to talk like he talked, but if those players decided that that's what they were going to use as motivation to get them maybe a little bit more amped up, well, I mean, it worked. And, you know, shame on Juju for giving them that extra fuel. But I always think it's funny when I hear that it's like, oh, bulletin board material and everything. Like, man, if you're breathing and you have any kind of pulse and you're in the damn playoffs where it's win or go home, that should be all the motivation you need. But again, I like it, man. I like whatever can get a guy to kind of feel like, make him feel like he's got a little bit extra edge. I'm all for it.
All right. So there you go. Okay, Q, your turn. Winner or loser?
I got a win for the weekend.
All right.
This was going to be a kind of out there in left field. You're not going to see this one coming. How about Nickelodeon?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
How about Nickelodeon? Nickelodeon was a winner over the weekend, having the Saints and the Bears game, and it wasn't that great of a game, and I kind of felt like it was going to shake out the way it did. The Saints were going to give the Bears the business, and they ended up, you know, getting that victory 21-9. But I think that what Nickelodeon did was really cool, and, you know, I was asked about it. The wife asked me afterwards. She's like, do you like it that they put this game on this channel? And I said, you know, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea if you're trying to watch the game, but you also have maybe a little one in the house that you're trying to get involved in the game, and the little one recognizes some of the teen stars that are on there and see some of the things that they like slime and the SpongeBob and, you know, stuff like that. I think that Nate Burleson did a hell of a job on the broadcast as well, along with everyone else who was on it. I thought it was pretty cool, and to be honest, I actually watched more of the Nickelodeon broadcast of it than I did watching Tony Romo and whatever, I forget his name. That's terrible, but he's a really good broadcaster, but Nance. I forgot his name. Jim Nance. Geez, sorry, Nance. That was terrible. Okay. But either way, I watched more of the Nickelodeon broadcast just because I was so intrigued on how it was going to be. So I thought that they did a good job, and I would like to see them do that more often to try to get, you know, kids involved in sports and football maybe a little bit earlier than they normally would be exposed to it.
Yeah, and if you're watching Major League Baseball, you should be taking notes, copious notes. And here's the thing about that, too. Now, I watched it, the slime cannons in the end zone, the touchdown, the SpongeBob kind of net thing that they did in the goalpost. All that stuff was great. And the thing that most impressed me about it, because I'm not always a big fan of the league, right? Because I think the league makes some really hypocritical decisions. They do all kinds of things, and I criticize them when that happens. But in this case, when you have a brand that big and you're willing to experiment, you know, publicly like that, because right, that's what it was. It was an experiment to see how this would go, and it really went well. And they're doing it in the playoffs. And you're right, getting kids involved, especially at that age, you know, it's hard because you and I, both fathers, we know our kids might love sports, but when they're 7, 8 years old, to keep their attention span throughout a whole game, it's tough. So right, I think that introducing those elements was really, really cool. And we'll see where it goes, man. I think they'll end up doing more and more as time goes on, as they try to get these games across multiple platforms. That's the other thing is, getting into the Nickelodeon stream, if you will, for them. Really smart to build future fans of the product as they move forward. All right, my last one of the day is a loser, and this is going to create some stir, I know. And it's not just to do that. It's because I actually believe it. And we'll talk about it later, too. Hondo Carpenter is coming up next. We'll talk to him about it. And we'll talk to you on the phones at 702-365-9200. I think I'm going to say some of the fans in Raider Nation are a loser this weekend, Q. And I'll tell you why. I want to say this emphatically. Darren Waller is a top two tight end in the league. There's no question. Darren Waller was not snubbed somehow. There was a unanimous vote for folks that don't understand how the All-Pro situation works. The All-Pro votes, if someone is unanimously selected, there's no second team, right? It's not like the NBA where they select three teams and they're going to fill out spots for everybody. In the NFL, the way the Associated Press All-Pro, which is kind of the de facto top one, works is you have votes. Everybody votes. If it's unanimous, there is no second team. If 70% of the votes go to one person and 30% go to the next person, then there's a second teamer. A lot of fans in Raider Nation were going crazy about this. And I just say, look, Darren Waller is to me a top two tight end. There's no question. Darren Waller is a fantastic player. Darren Waller will be an All-Pro. Okay, this is the second season he's had a fine season, over 1,000 yards. I think if you look at the All-Pro voting, the history of the All-Pro voting, Q, you see that guys are not only rewarded for their current season, but they're also rewarded, right or wrong, I'm not passing judgment whether it's right or wrong on past performance and consistency as well. That's why Travis Kelce got anonymous votes. It wasn't that Waller wasn't snubbed. There was no other votes. Now, why didn't someone vote for Waller? I think it's because if you look at the numbers, if you look at contribution, if you look at his team and how they performed, Kelce and the Chiefs just did better. So that's my take on that, Q. I don't know if you agree with it. We're going to find out from everybody else the rest of the show. But that, to me, was just kind of a loser mentality because, look, he's going to be fine. He's a great player. He wasn't snubbed. There's just one guy that's a little bit better than him.
Right. And I totally get that. And, you know, I know Raider Nation was pretty salty about that as well. But I mean, you explained it perfectly. You know, I mean, if it's unanimous, I mean, there's not another vote there. Now, you can always question why someone didn't vote for him, you know, off top. And right. That's fair.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it's unanimous, then, I mean, there you can't force another vote in there. So, I mean, it is what it is. I've always said when it comes to awards across the league that, you know, you win a lot of games, you all of a sudden receive a lot more awards.
Absolutely.
You lose a lot of games, you all of a sudden, they don't really realize how good you are until you start winning a lot of games. So, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I know everyone wants to get a trophy and an award, but, I mean, it's just not how the ball bounces. Not in the NFL and just not in a lot of sports. I mean, it is what it is. Again, like you said, I think the biggest key is what you said about, you know, how your team performs kind of determines a lot of the awards that are given out either postseason or, you know, or during the season. It just is what it is.
Yeah. And to me, that's the other key here is it's like the MVP award. MVP award, I don't see it's going to take something monumental for a quarterback not to win that award. Right? It just is what it is. It's not that there isn't player. There might be a defensive player who had the best year ever. And still, if you're a quarterback and you win the Super Bowl, it tends to be that, hey, look, or at least if you're a quarterback and you do well, I should say, into the regular season, it's a quarterback league. So that vote tends to go to quarterbacks. I'm not saying that it's always right. The other thing here is that if people out there, I saw the word a lot, well, it's not fair. Well, who says it's fair? It doesn't need to be fair.
Right.
Because I can get into the argument, which I'm sure I'll get into with some callers later and with Hondo, because I think Hondo disagrees with me on this one, is the numbers. The numbers alone show that Kelce had a better year. Doesn't take away, I mean, you know, Q, I'm a Waller fan. I love the guy for what he's done in his life. He's an amazing football player, and he had a great, great season. Unfortunately, if his team had made the playoffs, then he might have gotten some votes and he might have been second team All-Pro. I really believe that. But they didn't. They failed the second half of the season, so it didn't happen. That does not mean that Darren Waller will not be recognized. I think the league now recognizes he is the heir apparent. He will be the guy. He will be the top tight end eventually in this league if he continues to go down that road. But that was just to me, and I know I had people push back on me, and that's cool. We can disagree. I'm okay with that. But, well, the voting shouldn't be this way, and they should always have a second team. Well, why? I actually appreciate that about this vote, Q, is that in other leagues, I know they do three teams of everybody, and somebody on Twitter was arguing with me about it, saying, well, they should do what the NBA does. And I'm like, why? You should award the best guy in the league. And if the best guy in the league is that much better, his team is that much better, and he receives all the votes, then he receives all the votes.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's as simple as that. And again, I never get hung up on any awards that, you know, all pro and all that stuff, because again, it's a team sport, and ultimately the Raiders didn't play this past weekend. If they had played this past weekend, you probably would have seen their name in under some highlights and under some awards.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But that's my take on it. You guys can call in 702-365-9200. Tell me if you disagree with my assessment of the Darren Waller quote-unquote snub, which was not a snub, or you can text us at 69187, use the letters R&R, and then put in your comment. We'll read it on the air. All right, well, that concludes our winners and losers. Oh, man, it's also the first end of the first.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back on this Tuesday here, Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 in Las Vegas. Streaming everywhere on the official Raiders app. If you don't have the Raiders app, go get it. You can listen to us right there. You click the radio in the top right-hand corner, and bam, all day long, you can listen to Raider football chatter and news, as well as Rich Eisen from 10 to 12 as well. So there you go. That's a new addition to the lineup. Also, by the way, we are powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, injury attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Sam and Ash will be with us towards the end of the show, talking legal as they always do. We also throw some football in there, of course. And today, you heard Q and I start the show off. Q has to go out and do his show in Central Texas. So co-hosting with me today, our special guest co-host, he usually is on his time slot anyway on Mondays, but he's going to stay with us through the entire show. That is everyone in Raider Nation's uncle. Uncle Hondo Carpenter from Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website is here. He is the publisher of that. Hondo, how are you doing on this Tuesday, my friend?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you for having me on. It's always a joy. And man, when I get to spend an hour and a half, that just makes it Christmas. So I appreciate it.
All right. Well, no, we appreciate you being with us, and we got some stuff to talk about. But first, also, one of the things that I do before I get on the air, and Q and I usually talk about it, is we get the chance to have some nutrition, right? So I have a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar every day before I go on the air. It gives me the energy. Dr. Jen's, great nutrition for the entire family, great snack or meal replacement, as I use it for, certified gluten-free.
My family's chiropractor.
There you go. Exactly. Condo. That's right. Dr. Jen, Dr. Andrew, your chiropractors. The protein bars are awesome because they're all natural ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, contain superfoods like spinach, kale, and quinoa. But Hondo, these things don't taste like cardboard, man. They are really good. And so that's the whole point of it. It tastes good. You're getting good nutrition. You're getting high protein. You're getting quality fiber. It helps you sustain your energy without sugar crashes. Because, you know, I used to be a candy bar guy, and I don't eat candy bars anymore. I have Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, which you can buy at drjensnutrition.com. If you use the code SBT10, that's SBT10, you get a special discount, plus you get free shipping. So you get a discount with SBT10 just for being our listener, plus you get free shipping. So that's Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars at drjensnutrition.com. You can also buy them locally at Vegas Discount Nutrition, also Terrible Herbst convenience store. So you can find them anywhere anywhere that you can get pretty much protein bars or health foods or anything like that.
Scotty, I'm disappointed in you.
Why is that?
Because you should have told everybody, if you're anywhere in the country, get on a plane or get in your car and go across the valley and buy them in person when you let them work on your back.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing, is you get the opportunity. That's the thing, though. Come out here. And actually, there's a Terrible Herbst, Hondo, right next to Allegiant Stadium. Right, so you can actually see Allegiant Stadium, and then you can buy a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar and just look at it in awe and love your Raider Nation life.
I love it.
But anyway, we want to thank Dr. Jen's. Again, go to Dr. Jen's Ultimate Nutrition and be able to do that. So do that, and we'll make sure that we're taken care of, so we can get that definitely done and figure out how we get you guys healthy out there. But Dr. Jen's helps us with that. All right, so Hondo, I know we're having an audio issue, so we'll get Hondo back up in a second. But we're gonna. Oh, you're there. Okay, good, good. What we might do is get you on the phone since we're having that issue, Hondo. So we're gonna call you right back, my friend. All right, so we're going to call Hondo back in just a second here, just so Chris back in the studio can get the audio right. But what we're going to talk about, you guys heard what I said about Darren Waller. There's a lot of you out there, and I'm calling it feigned outrage because I don't believe it. I disagree with you wholeheartedly that somehow Darren Waller was snubbed. It's not that he was snubbed. It's just that the guy in front of him got all the votes, so there's no votes left, so there is no second team player. And again, if you listen to the show, how much I think of Darren Waller, oh, that I think he is the future of the NFL at tight end. But Travis Kelce got all the votes, and Travis Kelce had a better year. So I don't understand why people are outraged. 702-365-9200 is the number. 365-9200 is the number. And we have Hondo back. Sorry, Hondo. We'll work on that other stuff, but we got you at least on a good connection.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay. So, Hondo, I don't know if you heard it, but last segment with Q, we talked about winners and losers. And one of the things I talked about was I really disagree with this thought in Raider Nation out there that somehow Darren Waller was snubbed. Darren Waller had a great, great, great season. To me, he's top two tight end. To me, he will be the number one tight end in the league eventually. But the way the AP All-Pro vote works is if you get all the votes, there is no second team. So I'm not sure if people just don't understand the process. But do you agree with me, or you think he should have been a first team All-Pro over Travis Kelce?
Well, first of all, I can tell you this. I think the Raiders do get slighted a lot, so Raider Nation has a tendency to always assume they're being slighted, and that's a trap, right. And that's right. Dangerous. Anyone that understands how it works, I already knew as soon as it came out, okay, Kelce got all the votes, so there won't be a number two guy. Those of us in the media know that. However, I will say this. If you want to make an argument that Kelce's the best tight end, I think you can make that. But to be unanimous tells me there's a lot of lazy voting there. Because I'm going to tell you this, I don't think it's unanimous. I think it was literally week to week. And if I had to vote, you know, I think there was times that I would say Travis Kelce probably 55 to 60% of the weeks was the best. But Darren was there 45 or 40. So, no, I don't think it should have been unanimous. But when it is, that's always why. So I don't think it was a slight to Darren. I think it was more – you want to know the truth? I think it was a slight to the voters.
Well, and it's interesting though too, because that may be. I still think Kelce gets first team, and maybe the second team would have happened. And your point about lazy voters might be true, but I also think Hondo, that if you look at the situation too with the Raiders and how the second half of the year, and you know this, Hondo, you've been in this business a long time. When yep. you have voters, because let's face it, yes. There are a certain percentage of voters in these honors who are always lazy, right? They're just going to vote, oh, yeah, who's the best, who's got the best? And they look at team performance. They look at all that kind of stuff. And so should Travis Kelce have been the unanimous decision? I think that's a fair argument. I think you make the perfect argument. I just heard a lot of people, I don't think, understood the process of how AP selects all pros. And you're right about Raiders being slighted in the past, but I think in this case, you know, to overcome Travis Kelce or to get votes from Travis Kelce, I think you have to, as a team too, you have to show that even though it's supposed to be based on an individual performance, let's face it, they do reward the teams that make the playoffs or the teams that are grabbing the headlines.
Well, and if you watch the players who win those awards, isn't it amazing when teams make a step into the playoffs, how many more guys? But I'm going to talk about a bigger outrage. Now, to me, I think that Darren Waller, you can make a case that he was slighted. But I'm going to give you a guy that the fact that, I mean, Rodney Hudson. I mean, can we all agree this is the best center in all of football?
I don't think he was this year, Hondo.
But listen. I know, but listen. This is a guy that's constantly slighted, constantly overlooked.
True.
Constantly not getting any attention. And this guy, to me, give him a Pro Bowl, great. But this is a guy that should be talked about among the best of all time.
Yes.
Not just one of the best this year. I mean, that's a guy, I think, even though he gets a Pro Bowl honor, I think he's more slighted than Waller is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, I think there were guys that had a better year than Rodney this year. But at the same time, the argument I made before, or not argument, but the factual information that I look at that says, hey, they reward you for performance over time, even though it's supposed to be for this season. Certainly, Rodney Hudson's been slighted numerous years in a row. And to me,
talk about the Raiders around the country, and I do interviews like you do, Scott, literally all over the country, national and local, and they'll say to me, you know, we want to talk to you about some of the best players. When I mention Rodney, you'd be stunned how many people are like, who? I mean, they've never heard of the guy. It's just stunning to me. This guy is dominant. He's a force. And again, I think Waller is too. So I'm not saying that Waller, but I mean, to me, it's a classic example. Here's a guy that gets the honor, but even he's slighted. I think there's a lot of guys. I think you could have made a case for Derek Carr with his career season, but he's not going to get there on a team that doesn't make the playoffs. When those teams make the step to the playoff, you're going to be shocked at how many Raiders get attention.
No, I agree with that. And that was one of my key points, Hondo, was, look, I think Darren Waller, look, Travis Kelce, there's no doubt how great he's been. And you look at the fact that he's done it now for 6 years running over 1,000 yards, right, versus Darren Waller, who's now in his second year of having these types of performance. So Darren Waller is the future. Darren Waller will be an all-pro. It hasn't happened yet because you got that guy ahead of him. Now, if the Raiders somehow do what they should do and make the playoffs next year, or if they would have made the playoffs this year, that 6-3 start, if they finish in the playoff run, then I definitely think he gets votes, to your point, because then the lazy voters, they notice that the Raiders have been surging and they're doing well at the end of the season, and then I think he peels off some votes, and then you're looking at him as a second teamer. So it's always an interesting discussion. By the way, there are other all-pro / other honors that are happening, including one that I write, I vote in, which is for the Pro Football Writers of America, which I know he'll get honored there. He'll get honored other places. So, but the all-pro selection, I know, had a lot of people twisted this week, and so I wanted to address that. The next thing I want to talk to you about, Hondo, is the fact that we just got off the wild card weekend with the playoffs. I was impressed with the Browns, what they were able to do and go in there in that first quarter, Hondo, and just punch the Steelers in the mouth. And the Steelers, of course, self-destructed from the get-go with turnovers. But did that surprise you at all how dominating Cleveland was early?
No, I have some friends on the Browns team, and I kind of knew the mindset of them and kind of how that game was approaching and how they were approaching that game. You know, I think bringing in Stefanski was the guy that they wanted originally before the previous coach. I like the way they're building that team. I like the way they're, you know, they go out and get a Jack Conklin from Tennessee, and they sold him on what he was coming to. He could have even got more money in other places. This is why I mentioned about the Raiders this year. Finishing 8-8 was disappointing, but 7-9 would have been disastrous, because those Browns went in and sold Jack. And sold him and his family on exactly why coming there. And he could have even gone other places and got more money. But those guys going after those next big contracts, contract 2 and 3, they also want to be winners. And when they have choices, they're going to look for winners. I think that's a team that's dangerous. Listen, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I think they're a team that's dangerous. And they got a team they wanted. They got a rival who was really stupid, that said a lot of things they shouldn't have said. And I don't care what anyone says. And this is a compliment to the Raiders, by the way. Those Browns have a lot of guys on that team that haven't been changed by the money. I know Jack Conklin, know his wife, his baby. I know his parents. That's a guy who's a competitor. He walked on at Michigan State, then ends up being a first-round draft pick. That guy's just, he's always bet on himself. He's a winner. And so when you go out and get those guys that the money doesn't change them, and they still play for the love of the game. You look at Darren Waller, and you tell me that guy's playing because he's after the money. Darren Waller wouldn't do half the stuff he does if he was just playing for money. Derek Carr's the same way. Josh Jacobs. I mean, look at Alec. Look what he does. Look at Nelson Aguilar. I mean, there's so many guys on this team, and I think that's why I keep telling people there are lots of reasons for Raider Nation to be excited. I think there's no doubt you can't candy coat it. If you try to candy coat it, you're a Kool-Aid salesman. This was a disappointing season for the Raiders and unacceptable. Expanded playoffs, they should have been in the playoffs, period. But there still is a lot of reasons to be excited, and this team is not that far away. I could very easily see the Raiders, and I expect them to be next year's Cleveland Browns. They're going to get in, and they're going to take the next step. But that to me, it wasn't a shock, just because I have some inside knowledge on how they're building that team and the way they built it. And to me, I love to see those teams that are built on winners. I love winners. And I don't just mean the guys that win, the guys who play the game the right way. And when you're a Raider fan and you look at what you have, you got a lot of winners there. A very disappointing performance. Your defense needs to be overhauled. But there are a lot of pieces there. There are a lot of reasons this offseason to be excited.
Yeah, you look at what the Browns were able to do, and you look at how the Raiders played against them, and you can see that. And I think you're absolutely right. Now, Hondo, the other thing that really impressed me, and I was kind of iffy. I didn't know if he was going to be able to do it. I think it was one of the last hurdles for him to get over, and that of course was Lamar Jackson with Baltimore and what Baltimore was able to do with Tennessee, which the Titans, Q and I have been talking about for the last week. They remind us a little bit of the Raiders, by the way. But if you look at what Lamar Jackson was able to do, one of the criticisms, if the only criticism of him has been his ability to win playoff games on the road, he went into Tennessee and did it.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And, you know, and I've heard some people, you know, give Lamar a lot of discredit, in my opinion, take some shots at him earlier in the year while teams had figured him out. And whereas Patrick Mahomes, they didn't. I don't think that was fair. I think you had to look at the tools around him. You had to look at guys had to get healthy, how they handled the COVID list. But again, I think what makes him special is he's a winner. That's a guy that's just a competitor. And to me, that's the most respected area of all of football. People want to look at a guy's measurables. They want to look at what does he say at the combine? What's his 40? How many lifts at 225? But you can't judge somebody's heart. And this game is still about heart. You know, I love the story, Fred Biletnikoff. You know, here's a guy, there's a lot of guys faster, a lot of guys stronger, but nobody had Fred Biletnikoff's heart. And I'm going to say this about Fred Biletnikoff. You know, when Secretariat died, and they just couldn't believe how good Secretariat was, and they did his necropsy, which is an autopsy of an animal, they found he had an enlarged heart. I bet you when you look at a Fred Biletnikoff one day, and I hope he lives another 100 years with us, but when he goes, you're going to see a guy there that had a bigger heart than anybody. I love those guys that play the game of football like that, where it's not a business to them. They play because of the love. And when you see those guys, they're fun to watch. It's just fun. I don't care what team you root for. If you don't like watching Darren Waller play, if you don't know his story, to me, then you know what? You're just a scumbag. You're just a person that you don't like football. You're all about your tribe. I love to watch good people succeed. I love to watch warriors. I love to watch the guys who play purely for the love of the game. It's fun to them. Max Crosby, let me tell you about old Max. I'm very much aware of Max going back into high school. That was a kid that should have played at Michigan, should have played at Michigan State, Ohio State, Minnesota, any of those Big Ten schools. But everyone like, well, you know, we don't know about his heart. He's a little bit on the wild side. And when I say wild, I don't mean he was, you know, a bad kid at all. There was no concerns about him integrity and character-wise. But he was just a wild man. Then he goes to Eastern Michigan with Coach Creighton, where even they were a little intimidated by his zeal and fight. But you know what he does? He just makes plays. He fights. And then this year he comes in, and if you watched, he was double and triple teamed almost the whole year. Last year he showed everybody who he was. And Mad Max just kept fighting like a warrior. Dear God, if you don't enjoy watching Max Crosby play, my 15-year-old son thinks Max Crosby, Darren Waller, hung the moon, and he loves that part of their game, and I think you do too. And to me, that's what makes those guys special. It's what makes the NFL. I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I don't like the NFL. Those guys get paid. And there are guys that get paid and lose their zeal. But, man, when you find those guys who are not that way, I mean, that's one reason why everyone loved Brett Favre. Didn't matter how much money he paid, got paid. He was going to sacrifice his body. John Elway. To me, that's what makes this game special. It is literally a testosterone-filled battle royale of people looking for a war.
That's right. No, and that's why it was fun watching. I thought the fact that the playoffs were expanded too, clearly they're going to keep this going into the next season, as they should, allowing more teams in, allowing that extra team in, made it so nice, made it so competitive, made another market stay in the race, which I think will be great, not only for the Raiders next year, but for the entire NFL. Okay, Hondo, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Hondo continues along with me, co-hosting with me today here on Radio. We're going to get to talk about the Raiders defensive coordinator candidates, what Hondo's hearing lately. We'll get you up to speed on all of that on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere. This is Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Vegas strong, Union proud.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today on this Tuesday. No, it's a Monday. No, it's a Tuesday. No, it's a Monday. I can't remember. Monday, January 11th, here as we're talking about the NFL playoffs. Of course, a great weekend of playoff games with, to me, the biggest game, the most exciting game was watching the Browns beat the Steelers. The Bills also played really well. And we're always brought to you by our good friends at Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them online at samandashlaw.com. So my special co-host today is Hondo Carpenter. He's with me. We're talking Raiders football. Q Myers will rejoin me at the top of the hour for the Q-tip. Then coming up at 3:20, Hondo and I will talk to Hunter Renfro in his 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872 and Sam and Ash later in the show. So don't go anywhere. Okay, Hondo. So one of the obviously the big storylines for the Raiders in this offseason, the early one too, because you got to figure it's going to happen in the next few days, hopefully, is the hiring of a defensive coordinator for this team after what happened with the defense. Really, I believe, costing this team the opportunity to win enough games to get in the playoffs. They're out there. We know three candidates already that have been confirmed: Gus Bradley, the Chargers' current defensive coordinator; Chris Richards, former assistant with the Dallas Cowboys; and of course Joe Barry with the Rams. First of all, what's the latest you're hearing besides those three guys, and maybe a little bit on timing if you have your sources telling you anything new?
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this, Scott, but Friday on with Pritch and Clay, I talked about one of the things that people were a little frustrated that the hire wasn't done right away, bringing in the gentleman from the Chargers. And I explained to people that what was going on behind the scenes. I had learned from some general managers and people in the NFL that was the direction that John felt like he wanted to go, but that he was going to be smart, that he was bringing guys. And he realizes with this offense, with these facilities, Nevada's a state with no state income tax, that he could, you know, this is a very desirable job. So like the Steelers, you may remember the Steelers were about to hire Russ Grimm, and the Rooneys made a decision, you know, we still want to talk to a couple other people. We think Russ is our guy, but if he is, then it doesn't matter that we interview some other people. So they went and met with a little known guy named Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin walked in the room, and I know there's some people who were in the room, and he wowed them. He broke down every single person on their roster. He told them why, what they needed to do, what needed to happen. And when he walked out, the Rooney family was stunned. They were stunned at what they just heard. That Tomlin almost interviewed them and wanted to know, you know, their level of commitment. And he knew that roster up or down, forward. He knew history. He knew nuances from inside the locker room. He knew it all. So down the road, they still felt like they wanted to hire Russ Grimm, but they wanted to do another interview with Tomlin. They did, and he knocked it out of the park. And then they were still pretty sure that they were going to hire Russ Grimm, but they decided one more time to talk to Tomlin. And the third time, right in the room, Rooney looked at him and said, "Do you want to be the head coach?" And he said, "That's why I'm here." And he said, "You're hired." And so what John Gruden has done, and I reported this on Friday, he's letting people come to him. He's letting people tell him about this roster and what they think they can do. John Gruden has been prudent. Now, he very well may end up hiring Bradley, and that's great, or Raheem Morris or Joe Barry, whoever he wants. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Because in my opinion, I think John Gruden is a Hall of Fame coach. He's not there now, but he won a Super Bowl, and you don't get in for one Super Bowl, but he also did it with Tony Dungy's defense. But to be a great Hall of Fame coach, you have to be able to adapt and adapt. And I want to see his ability now, when clearly his defense was failing, to go hire the guy who can fix it and repair it. If John Gruden does that and the Raiders win another Super Bowl, to me, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But this is John Gruden's legacy. I don't care if he hires his wife. I don't care if he hires my wife. I don't care if he hires Derek Carr or Scott Gilbranson's son. The point of the matter to me is the biggest offseason question for the Raiders is John Gruden. And I think he's going to prove himself to be what I think he is, and to silence his critics, of which I'm not one. But again, that's one thing that's really impressed me. I had one general manager tell me, he said, I think we're seeing the maturation of John Gruden. He's normally a guy who knew what he wanted, was going to go do what he wanted. But man, he's stepping back and listening, letting guys sell him. John is really, John's always been liked in the NFL. He's always been respected. But one GM said, you can really see his maturation as a leader here. John's taken that next step. And I think people need to relax. You've got all offseason. It doesn't matter who he hires. The point of the matter is, this is John Gruden's legacy. Next hire fails, John Gruden fails.
Yes, no, it's a great point, Hondo. But I have to ask you this question, because not growing up a Raiders fan and being, I've only covered the team for 3 years, but I'm marked by how excited the entire fan base was when John Gruden came back. But now going into this offseason and what's happened the last 2 years, even though there's good reasons for why a lot of it happened, and we know we can diagnose, especially with that defense and what happened this past year and the failures on defense, there's just a lack of trust all of a sudden that he can get the job done. And I know what you're saying is patience, and he's got to have the ability to do that. And that when you talk to folks around the league, they're starting to see John Gruden and look at it as someone who's successful and is progressing. But how do fans look at that? They look at some of these hires or possible hires, and I like them all. I think they're all pretty good coaches, and I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them are here, by the way. That's nepotism, and oh, yeah, he's got this, and that's this man's son-in-law, and that's this. What do you tell them when they are already off the boat? It's only been three seasons, really two if you count since Gruden took over with everything. What is the basis of that, and why do you think that's so prevalent?
First of all, I think that's a great question. Number one, I don't think it's everybody, and I don't think it's close to everybody. But I think with social media that people are able to go out and say a lot of things, and from their mom's basement. And not all of them are in mom's basement. I mean that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't think it's all in the least bit. But I am going to say this, and I want to make this very clear. I believe that in the world of professional sports, basketball, football, hockey, baseball, soccer, even European soccer, the greatest sports icon in the history of sports is Al Davis. I want to make that very clear. And I felt that long before I came here to cover the team. I'm not saying that because I'm here. You know, what he did, the way he sued the league, the way he went after the league, he made it a business. And I think Al Davis is an icon. But if you look at the last, for a long time, and certainly even, up till his death, that you watch a lot of failure from Al Davis in his later years. And part of that was the knee-jerk reaction to just fire people. They went and hired, pick a Jamarcus Russell that everyone in the league is like, that's a Raider pick. An utter failure. They would go sign free agents and overpay them because they had big names but didn't produce. And I think you saw that later in their years. But all of a sudden now, in comes John Gruden. In comes a new staff. I think Mark Davis has been an amazing owner. Amazing owner. And all of a sudden now, you start to see some newness and there's some new things. They're not just going to overreact and move quickly. You know, you go look at the Steelers and what's been one of their common things, consistency. And so getting the hires right is important. And then sticking with them, letting people build something. The understanding, not everything happens immediately. And so one of the things that I would say to fans is, okay, you want to go back to where you were with Al? Because as the NFL began to change and there were more teams and all of a sudden it wasn't a bigger pool of players to pick from, all of a sudden a lot of those new knee-jerk reactions hurt this franchise. And I'm not belittling Al. Again, he's an American icon and deserves the credit of not just being a great, in sports. He's an American icon. But I think you have to look at what they've done with this franchise, look at where they're going. Now, if we were sitting here today and Paul Gunther was still the coach, man, I think there would be a lot of reasons for concern. But they're not. And I love the way that John's going out looking to hire a DC. Again, don't care who he hires, because this is John. This is all John Gruden. If this person goes in and great, it's all Gruden.
Yeah, and Hondo, I think one of the things that, especially for a certain segment of fans, is they're so hooked on the celebrity side of things. They want a hot name. They want a sexy name. And if it's not somebody they're familiar with, then they get upset and don't think it's a good hire. All right, we have to take a break here for the top of the hour. Hondo, we're up against a break, man. We'll get you back. Don't worry. We're going to do the Q-tip coming up at 3. We'll have Hunter Renfro back with us at 3:20, and we'll get back to the conversation on the defensive coordinator here. Scott Cobranson, Hondo.